Mel, let me start with you first of all. Have you noticed this at all in any of your younger pupils?
Absolutely. Good morning, and thank you for inviting me on to speak about this today. We absolutely have noticed. Our secondary school, Bishop Young Academy, is located in Seacroft, Leeds, where a significant number of our young people's lives are characterised by privation. And lockdown has had a huge impact on many of our young people, particularly around their oracy and their confidence around talk and their self-esteem. And despite all of our great efforts to support our pupils during lockdown with high-quality remote teaching and learning and wellbeing support, on return, we've certainly found that the word gap has widened. And unfortunately, for some of our most disadvantaged students, much of the confidence around talk and learning has declined as well, which ultimately is having an impact on their academic progress, but also their wellbeing.
What's the word gap?
So the word gap is the number of words that students understand and are able to use spontaneously. And in particular, we notice a huge word gap around what we call tier two and tier three language, in particular, tier two language, which is that sophisticated language that you're not always exposed to in everyday talk. And I think the evidence suggests that students with a limited vocabulary at the age of five are six times less likely to reach the expected standards in English at the age of 11.
And do you feel that there is, I mean, obviously what's done is done, and we need to try to address it and fix it now. But was there any way of getting past this, if you weren't having face-to-face teaching for large periods of time?
It was incredibly challenging. Obviously, with talk, the important thing is that you are able to have those shared, sustained conversations with peers and with teachers, and using technology to teach, that often was very limiting. And obviously, alongside that, for many of our students, the digital divide, enabling them to actually access our online remote learning, was also challenging.
Mel, stay there. I'm going to speak to Robert now. Robert Halfen, as I said, Chair of the Education Select Committee. I suppose this was one of those things that was almost bound to happen, and difficult to protect against. How can we fix this?
Well, it is pretty grim, and I think that Mel, the head teacher, has just highlighted what's going on in her school. And just figures out yesterday suggest that 90% of schools are saying that children are coming back having problems with speech and with communication. And even before COVID, 75% of children from very disadvantaged backgrounds arrive at school below average in language development, and around 50% of children in some areas of deprivation begin school with delayed language. So oracy and communication, language development is incredibly important. There's a group of MPs led by Emma Hardy, a Labour MP, who have, although I'm on a different side, have huge sympathy with what she's doing, is suggesting that oracy needs to be embedded much more across the curriculum. The government needs to promote it at all stages. It needs to be central. And given what's happened with COVID, the Oracy report has got it absolutely right.
So, if there are some children who are behind in their development of their language skills, does what you're recommending, Robert, do you mean? I mean, there would presumably have to be more time, even if it was just temporary, carved into the school day to kind of make up for all the lost time.
So, and I think a number of things need to happen. First of all, generally, oracy should be more embedded across the curriculum. That is very, very important. But in terms of the government's catch-up programme, they're spending about 1.8 billion. A significant part of that must be about oracy and language development and language catch-up. And I have talked about extending the school day, not necessarily saying that the teachers would have to be there, but you would have the tutor groups, you'd have mental health charities, you'd have sporting groups come in, and I think that would be a possibility where children could actually catch up on some of the language learning that they've lost.
Mel, what do you think about the idea of catching up and potentially extending the school day a little bit? Would that help?
I think first and foremost, what is important is the quality of what we deliver in the classroom. So I think in terms of that huge spotlight that we do need to focus on oracy, There's a lot of potential in the way in which we are teaching our students within a lesson. So making sure that we are using that time to teach students to talk, but also to learn through talk as well. So although catch up and extra support around that would absolutely help, I do feel first and foremost that it's the quality of what's delivered now in the classroom and centering that around oracy that can really make a difference to some of these young people.
Go on, Robert.
So just there's an interesting statistic in the Oracy report that's published today that suggests that less than half of primary teachers and a quarter of secondary school teachers say they're confident in their understanding of spoken language requirements outlined in the curriculum. So that a lot more needs to be done by the government in terms of guidance and to strengthen the curriculum, as I say, embed it all the way through the school system to help teachers and support staff ensure that Oracy is seen as a major part of learning.